Hi friends, hello the world. Welcome back to this episode of Tools for Transitioning Humanitarians. I'm your host, Selor Monova. Today I want to talk about one of the topics that I have been thinking about doing for like I think almost 5 years, and I always felt like, am I really qualified to talk about this? Am I really qualified to really share my experience? Of enough experience or not? And I feel like it is now time that way I can talk about it. And I feel like it is enough experience. And the topic is, what is hard, or what are the ways it is hard being a humanitarian and being an entrepreneur, right? Because I have had the fortune of experiencing both professions separately, obviously. And I really feel like after more than 4 years of doing an entrepreneurial journey as a life coach and being a humanitarian in the past, I have the feeling that I can finally share with you my experience of what are the ways that both are hard. And the reason also why I wanted to talk about is because I wanted to share with people who are really wanting to transition from a humanitarian to entrepreneurial journey, or people who are really thinking about what it would be like to be an entrepreneur as well as being a humanitarian. So therefore, these are the ways that you can see what might be hard for you and how do you want to solve for it instead of letting it stop going for the thing you want to, right? And the other reason, of course, is that I talk about transitioning in so many ways, and some of the times people tell me that, well, it all sounds very easy, but isn't it hard? And I feel like, okay, I want to explain what hard means as well, so that we don't mystify it and just shove it under the rug, but rather really look at what actually hard means and how can we solve for it, right? So I have divided my hard things into three categories so that I can make it more accessible and visible to you. I probably could go into more details, so therefore you can also ask me questions anytime. But I thought these three categories, I think for most of my clients as well, feels like hard and how we can solve for it. So the first one that if I were to compare my humanitarian journey and entrepreneurial journey, the first hard is the results. And this is something that I have been talking about a lot in my podcast, in my videos, is that I felt like the main reason why I was so unsatisfied and not fulfilled with my humanitarian journey was because I didn't see the results I wanted, right? I didn't see the results equal to the input that we were putting in. I felt like we were putting on a lot of effort, a lot of nerves, a lot of emotions, a lot of fighting into making things better, helping the affected population, and doing all of those things. But the outcome felt like so minimal, or outcome felt so not sustainable or one-off thing. That just made me feel questioning whether this is how we should be doing it, right? So I think like many humanitarians share my view about we're not really questioning the cause, or we're not really unsatisfied with the cause, but rather we are oftentimes unsatisfied with how things are done and how bureaucratic it is, or how it is so hard to keep pouring everything into making things better, like helping alleviate suffering of certain people who are affected by war, conflict, natural disasters, and then feeling like the outcome of that is like, even though so many, maybe millions went into it, or so much resources went into it, but the outcome feels so insignificant, and you just keep questioning, is this how it should be done, right? So therefore, for me, that was the hardest thing to bear, hardest thing to tolerate. I have done a lot of analysis on my own as head of office to understand, is this justified, or all of these resources and funds and everything went into it? Is it justified to get the outcome that we have? Are we really solving the problem sustainably or long term, or are we just doing one off thing and then just moving on to something else, and then the situation of the people haven't changed at all, right? So that was, I think, the hardest for me to bear and to handle and swallow, which is why is the reason I resigned from the humanitarian sector. Now, the way that I tried to solve at the time when I was a humanitarian in terms of how to solve for it is I did a lot of extensive analysis, as I said, and also I asked myself what kind of impact I want to make, right? And some of the times I really felt like, okay, I want to keep doing it, and I tried to do that as well, but I felt like no matter how much I try, no matter how many people I will bring on board to be doing this work, it will not address the existential or foundational problem that I thought is a problem, which is not addressing the cause because of which it's happening, or not addressing really the problems in systemic way. And I really wanted address things in systemic ways, and therefore I felt like no matter how much I try and no matter how much I give my all, it will not be the impact that I would love to contribute to and feel good about it, right? So I really wanted to be honest with myself and with the employer, and I wanted to do things that I actually believe in, that I believe makes sense to be doing it and makes sense to be doing it long term and standing by it, instead of just keep doing it because I was afraid to make the alternative thing work, or because I was afraid I wouldn't have the privileges or the titles or the career or prestiges or the money that I wanted, right? So therefore I have resigned because of that realization of how no matter what, I will not be able to work things in the way that I would like to contribute to, and therefore I decided to leave. Now, that was the first hardship with the humanitarian work and journey that I experienced, which I did for 10 years. Now, let me tell you about the hardship or hard ways in the entrepreneurial journey that I have experienced in terms of results, in terms of how do I create the results that I want to, right? So remember, the reason why I left was because the impact that I wanted, I didn't really create or contribute to, and I felt like it was so intangible or so abstract. At the same time, I felt like I was so much engaged in the activity, right? So it was more like activity of meetings, activity of reporting, activity of shaking hands, which again, if it brought to something concrete, I wouldn't mind doing it, except that I didn't believe that was happening. Now, here in the entrepreneurial journey, what I realized that I didn't have any of the activity, right? So I didn't have any of the meetings. I didn't have any of the things that I was just doing for the sake of doing, which was amazing. But then the hardship was, okay, how do I actually now create the results that I want to, create the impact I want to with other people? Because when I resigned, by the time I resigned, I was already creating the results I wanted in my life, which was no longer allowing myself to burn out or detecting and understanding when I'm burning out and what to do about it. I was also good at being in charge of my time, being in charge of how I live my life and what kind of impact I want. I was very clear on all of those things, and that made it so much easier and better for me to like be sure of what I'm doing and why I'm doing this, right? But the hardship was that I never really learned how to create the results that I wanted, meaning the exact results I wanted. So one of the exact results that I wanted was I wanted to replicate my UN salary at B3 level, right? Because I didn't want to just sign up to this belief the society holds, which is you should never let go of the job that is paying you well because you can't find it anywhere else, right? And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to just say, oh my God, I can't just go somewhere else because this job is the only place I can make the money I want to, because a lot of my family members depended on me and continue doing so. And me earning that money and continuing supporting them was something that was so essential that I wanted to keep doing. So therefore, replicating my salary and at the P3 level, not just any salary, right, at P3 level, was something that I wanted to create in addition to making the impact I wanted, in addition to making the impact with other people that who wanted to do this with me, and in addition to being with my loved ones and with my boyfriend at the time, in the same place where I wanted to. Now, that made it hard in itself because A, I never learned how to take full responsibility for creating the results, any results I wanted. I was somehow taught or trained by society that I can just keep doing whatever and then see what happens type of mentality, right? Or I can just be as long as I have this amount of money, then I should be okay. And why should I want more? Or what kind of like all kinds of judgments. And I didn't really understand in order to create the results and exact results that I want to, what kind of mindset I need to have and what kind of emotions I need to learn to manage. That I haven't learned. So therefore, this was the hardest part, especially in the beginning. I would say in the first 2 years of my transitioning, the hardest part was how to manage my emotions around, oh my God, that will this really work? How will this work? Can I really then make the impact I want to and make the money that I want to? And support my family. All of those things generated a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of maybe even guilt, shame that, oh my God, if I don't make it work, then I need to go back to what I don't want to. And all of this, I think, made it hard simply because of a lot of emotions that I needed to learn to manage. Because if I didn't manage those emotions, then what I would end up then doing is I would end up just surviving and keep like trying out something without really committing myself, and at the same time not really learning why is it working or why it's not working and what can I do differently. And instead, I would just keep wanting to just go back to safety, go back to what I know best, even though I didn't like it. That will be the danger and the risk, and I didn't want that risk. Right. So therefore, what I did really to work on that hardship is, besides changing my story and mindset around the person who actually can create the exact results I want to, I also worked a lot on my emotional maturity, my emotional processing, so that I learn to manage it well, so that my fear based brain does not take over and then just steer the wheel, right? And that took me, I would say, about a year or maybe even less. And the other part of work that took me is identity of me being the person who can make the results happen, whether I work in the UN context or somewhere else, and learning and recognizing that I'm capable of making the amount that is even beyond my wildest dreams. Right. So the hardship that I faced, I think it was so worth addressing it because then what that allowed me to do is allowed me to give me myself this freedom to recognize that I actually don't need to depend on other institutions to make the money I want, to make the impact I want and work with people I want to, because it is really up to me and I can manage it instead of my old belief that used to be like, I can't live without my UN job. I can't live without my job. I can't live without this humanitarian job because I'm no one without it, used to be my identity. So the second category that I would say is where the hard things that I noticed that I would say both in both journeys is the people, right? Now, I really want to say when I'm talking about the people category, what I really mean is certain people, some of the people that I have encountered or some of the people that I work with in the humanitarian sector. The reason why it was hard was because some of them had this competitive spirit of us versus them and making you feel like either you belong to this team, therefore you have to do all the things that the team wants you to, aka the boss wants you to. And if you start questioning or if you start asking questions, then you all of a sudden feel like you don't belong there. Right? And that I think was the hardest to bear or hardest to overcome. And I would say that this type of characteristics or personalities are in every field that you go to. So I'm not suggesting or saying that it's only in humanitarian sector, right? But because I'm talking about the humanitarian sector here, I'm only talking about the personalities that I had difficulty dealing with or working with. One of the first or the main ones were the ones where I felt like we were just going and fighting within the offices or within the teams about things that didn't matter, that we should be fighting for, because the thing that we were supposed to be fighting for is the advocacy for people that we're serving, delivering aid for the people that we're serving. That is what we're supposed to fight for. But instead, I had the feeling that I needed to fight a lot of people within the office or within the offices to get the delivery that I wanted, right? Or the same way that other people had this feeling of, instead of actually working on the impact, it felt like we were working on intrigues or scandals or office politics and toxic environment. And I just felt like, oh, can we just not do that, right? And I honestly, like looking back, I honestly feel maybe it's rare when we have environments, whether it's the humanitarian sector, whether it's entrepreneurial journey or corporate world, the private sector, whatever it is, I think it might be rare to really expect environments where everyone is so focused on the outcome and the impact and so good at collaborating with each other. I feel like that's the culture that every one of us want to contribute to and consciously contribute to it. And if we don't do that, then it just feels like it's very challenging to create such environments, because human nature is, I feel, a lot of the times, creating hierarchies. Or even if we don't create hierarchies, we still have a lot of this interpersonal topics that need to be addressed, right? So therefore, leaderships that are in place to create create spaces for healthy environments, I think is amazing. But my experience, I would say the hardest way to do the job would be, one of the hardest way would be how to not let the office politics and intrigues and everything affect you so that you can keep focusing on the things that you want to, right? So that was, I would say, the people element in that was very hard. And the other part that was hard as well is this complaining, venting, and everyone feeling like a low morale, or not everyone, but a lot of them. And you like feeling dragged into that, even though that you don't want to, but then you end up like searching for your motivation, and you already like having questions about the impact, which I was, and then you have other people and their demotivated behaviors or attitudes, and then it just feels so challenging not to be affected by it, right? So some of the ways that I have tried to solve that in the humanitarian sector back in the day, which really I felt like I was made to solve it for myself, because my health, especially my burnout, was so through the roof twice in my career, that by the time I was having a burnout the second time and I was hospitalized, I realized that I cannot just continue this way. I cannot just continue dealing with everyone in this way and emotionally so involved. So therefore, I have learned to find ways to no longer be victim of my circumstances or my environment, and instead really deciding, how am I in charge of my own emotions? How am I in charge of my ways of spending my time, my focus, my concentration. And if I'm going to do that, then I can't just go around being involved in all of these office politics and all the other things. And of course, me being head of office didn't help in some of the ways because it seemed like part of my job is somehow be part of the politics in some ways, but I tried not to do that as much as I could. And of course, I'm not saying, and in no way I'm blaming anyone in this, but rather saying that I was learning to take ownership for how I was reacting. I was taking ownership for how I was actually engaging with them or not engaging. And I was really starting to look at, okay, I want to be fully in charge of my time, fully in charge of my energy, fully in charge of how I'm doing it, why I'm doing it. I don't want to be the person who is doing all of this against their will or doing it because I don't have option type of thing. I don't want to do that. And then as soon as I took ownership of all of those without blaming, notice, without blaming myself or the other people, then I started changing and shifting my reality so much that it became not hard at all. Now, when it came to entrepreneurial journey, the people category has a bit of a different element. So the parts that were very easy in the entrepreneurial journey that was hard in the humanitarian is I was able to work with people who really want to work with me, right? And I no longer had the need or the urge or like pressure to be working people, whoever, or even though in the beginning I think I did, but even then I was very lucky to have amazing clients who really wanted to work with me. And we had amazing relationships throughout our coaching journey and continue doing so. But I think the part that was very difficult, especially in the beginning, and I still continue working through this now in my coaching of myself and getting coached by my coach. The topic is, I think, having honest conversations with people where I am bluntly saying things the way they are. And I think this was, and in this case, the category of people applies really to me in talking to other humanitarians, because I think my people pleasing behavior still like get best of me, or my fear of not wanting to offend or not wanting to have hurt feelings or whatever, then I may tiptoe around saying the things that I should have otherwise openly say it. And in an entrepreneurial journey where you're having especially conversations around how can you help other people make decisions as to whether they should work on this goal they have or not? Oftentimes, a lot of people tend to have fears around, oh, if I do this, will this really work, right? If I do this, can I really afford it? If I do this, do I really have the time? And then, because of these reasons, they then stop themselves from working on the goals, on the transitioning they really want to. And then in that moment, it would have been so in service to be very honest with them and saying that, why wouldn't you work on this, right? Why would you allow your money topics or your time issues stop you from going for what you want to? Because if you keep using the money or blaming the money, blaming the time for how you are not going for what you want to, you will continue living your current life that way, right? And in the conversations with individual people or groups of people, I can see myself feeling like, ah, I want to just shake them and say, yes, you should work on this transitioning, right? Whether you're going for a promotion within the sector or you're leaving the sector, it doesn't matter. What matters is you feeling the authority and responsibility for your life and living it the way you want to, and not just allow your current circumstances or other people dictate whether you can do this thing or not. And in that case, I feel like it's still very hard for me to really have that honest conversation where I can say all the things without reservation instead of people pleasing them and saying, oh, do you really want to or not want to? And it's okay if you don't want to, which is then me making a disservice to them by just agreeing with their limitation story, right? By agreeing with their limiting beliefs instead of shaking them so much, like metaphorically, obviously, so that they can see that they are capable of going for the thing they want to. They're capable of making the money they want to. They're capable of making the impact they want to in whatever the circumstances they choose to. And they cannot be stopped by money or time or other issues that they believe are issues. And that continues to be hard until this day. Now, the third one is, I think, the stability and certainty or uncertainty, right? This is the topic that I feel a lot of my humanitarian clients struggle with, even in the humanitarian sector. In the humanitarian sector, I think what was hard for me was to keep moving from one place to another and not really have enough time to be spending with my loved ones, right? So that was, I think, the hardest part. And in terms of feeling uncertainty and that being an issue, I didn't really feel like that was an issue as such, but I can also see a lot of humanitarians talking about how they have temporary assignments or temporary contracts, and they feel like they don't really have the stability they desire. And therefore, they just keep searching for when will they get the stability, and they can then work on families or building families or relationships or being with their loved ones. And then we just keep having that illusion of when this happens, then I will do this kind of delaying tactic, right? Excuse me. And the reason why I believe that's very hard is because whatever we are delaying is actually not living the life we want to. And that's really what we are actually working for, right? We're working for so that we can live the life we want to, or we want to live the life where work makes one part of it, but not the only part of it. And we want other things to be part of our life as well. But if we keep feeling that stability does not depend on us, stability depends on the employer, stability depends on the contract, I can't really handle uncertainty, then we just keep agreeing to things that we actually otherwise wouldn't have agreed. And therefore, I feel this is one of the hardest, I think, for humanitarians to really find a way to feel stable and certain. And I can also see how that would be very challenging for them transitioning to something else where they feel that stability and certainty or uncertainty feeling so hard and not knowing how to deal with it. And the way that I have dealt with it in the humanitarian sector as well as in the entrepreneurial journey is recognizing and learning that stability comes from within. It doesn't come from the employer, from the partner, from the money, from insurance, from I don't know, other investments or whatever it is. Now they will help, obviously, right? But we need to essentially understand is that stability and how we feel stable or how we deal with uncertainties depends on our emotional maturity or our emotional management or our emotional intelligence, whichever the word that relates to you most. And here is what I mean by it. When we feel stable, when we feel certain, those feeling of stable, feeling of certain comes from certain beliefs about ourselves, certain beliefs about our abilities, certain beliefs about how we can handle any situation we want to. Now, oftentimes we have, however, been taught by society that stability comes from other things outside of us, and we're somehow dependent or at the mercy of those things. And what that is, that has led us to, unfortunately, is keep agreeing to things that we otherwise wouldn't have, and therefore not really living our lives fully the way we want to. And in the past, we used to also have this with, as women, when we thought of dependency on marriage, dependency on men, and dependency on societal norms, and then just following the things instead of really looking at what is it we want to and how do we want to make that happen. And thankfully, in many of the societies, we have arrived at that emancipation whichever the way you want to call it. But we have recognized as women, for instance, that we no longer need to be in that situation. We don't want to. And we can divorce whenever we want to, or we don't even need to get married, or we don't need to be even financially or any other way dependent on men. But we want to have and build loving relationship that is coming from our wholeness and not out of need. And we have recognized that essentially in the men and women, especially heterosexual relationships, right? But when it comes to our jobs, we haven't really achieved that level of emancipation or that level of understanding of our stability depends on us as individuals if we want to, and we don't need to necessarily be so dependent or so at the mercy of the employer. And I think that is something that we are arriving, but we're not there yet. And therefore, one of the things that I have really understood for myself early on, even before transitioning, is that my stability depends on me, and I didn't want to repeat the mistakes that I believe my mom was making at the time when she wouldn't leave my violent father because she felt like her stability, her whole life depended on him. And I told about this story many times, but for those who haven't heard, is that back in the day when I was a teenager, I used to beg my mom to divorce my father so we can leave, so that she's happy, so that we no longer witness these violences, but she wouldn't leave him at all. And I used to judge her for how she cannot be independent and she cannot do the things she wants to. And then realizing later on that I didn't want to make the mistake of like handing over my whole freedom to my employer and say, well, you decide whether I can go on vacation or not. You decide where I'm stationed in jurisdiction. You decide what kind of job or tasks I do or what kind of jobs I don't do. You decide what kind of impact I can make or I can't make. I didn't want to do that anymore. So therefore, recognizing and realizing that stability and what kind of emotions I need to be managing and what kind of self-concept I need to have in order to ensure my own stability and my emotions around dealing with uncertainty was one of the best skills that I have learned to master. And I continue mastering those skills, but I realize that that's just a skill like any other, like learning a language or becoming a manager and learning the skill of becoming a manager. And therefore, that made it very easy, I would say, on the second year of my transitioning. It just felt so, this is how I'm going, and this is the direction I'm going, and I don't want anything else. I don't want any other ways to make myself dependent on other institutions or on other people or on other committees or whatever. I want to be in charge fully of my time, my energy, the way I'm making my impact, the way I'm doing my work, the way I'm interacting and working with my clients, and I want to have that full freedom life to be living it the way I want to. And that made it easy and currently not even a problem to be dealing with. And I just felt like this is just who I am, and this is the impact I meant to create in the world. So, my dears, I have highlighted to you three different ways that you can experience hardship, both in the humanitarian as well as an entrepreneurial journey. And if you have any questions, or you want to work on this topic of becoming fully free and whole to be doing whatever you love and creating the impact you want to and making the money you want to along the way, then absolutely come coach with me. I would love to help you get to the place where you feel these are no longer hardships that you need to face. Have a beautiful week. Talk to you very soon.